from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban 3 fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck and pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to String Cheese.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let him know.
Where mama at?
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
5 o'clock hour is the Funky Buddha happy hour.
We rolling today, baby.
It's 305.
Dolly.
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 God bless you.
You ever wanted to condense a show into 10 minutes? We're about to do it. All right, stock market report. Do a practice today, like full practice.
Yes.
So he's doing mind games.
Is it passive aggressive? I don't even know the phrase for it, but I'm upset, but I'm not too upset.
It's confusing. But I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if there's an actual plan. I saw, you know, I'm watching on social media this morning. I think it was Adam Beasley tweeted out some sound. It's Mike McDaniel. And he's like, yeah, Tua's probably going to practice today. And I don't know, was it Chris Perkins who followed up? Like, hey, is this planned out the day in advance? Is this a week? Like, do you have a plan for the week that he's only going to do handoffs on Wednesday? The full sit-in is on Thursday, or the hold-in, and then on Friday it's back to practice. Like, and obviously you can't get a real answer out of Mike McDaniel, but I don't know what the approach is. So I don't know if this is, I don't know if it's a hold-in, a hold-out. I don't know if he really even wants a new contract. I don't know. I know that he connected with Tyreek, according to the writers, like a 70-yard TD.
Huck, nobody doesn't want a new contract. There's no human in the world that says, no, nah, I'm going to stick with this money. I don't want more money. Everybody wants new money. He wants new money because he deserves it, and he sees the market. But it's you know what? We've kind of talked about this. Tua's not built to be the butt wipe. He's not, what's the guy, the Reddick that's in Philly holding out, not coming to camp. CeeDee Lamb. I just watched 2 hours of CeeDee Lamb on TV where he's not showing up, and he's sending out videos of him working out outside the facility, showing them, I want to play, but I'm not playing for y'all if y'all don't pay me. Tua's not that, but Tua also wanted to get a point across that I do want to get paid. I'm not happy with the contract I'm under, but I'm not going to be a butt wipe to my teammates and organization. I'm coming, but I'm just going to work every now and again until y'all pay me to work a full day.
Did he speak to the media at all this week, Solana? Did he speak? Because I know he didn't speak the other day. Did he speak today?
I have not seen any quotes from Tua Tagovailoa, unless it happened within the last couple minutes. I have not seen any quotes from Tua.
If I was Tua's representative, I wouldn't let him talk. If I was the Dolphins, I'd tell him not to talk. I don't think either side wants him to talk.
Right.
And the last time he did, he made it pretty clear. The market is the market. So
market
I don't
is
think,
the market.
I don't think there needs to be said. He doesn't have to say anything else. Like, it's been said. He wants what the market is dictating.
There's not a lot of situations where both sides don't want to get their opinion out, and I think this is one of them.
Marlins traded AJ Puck last night. So on, I'll have your headlines here. Josh Appel is going to join us. I want to talk football with him, but we can ask him about that. I will say this. In a season that you're not making the playoffs, you don't really need a closer because it doesn't matter so much. And from what I have read and what I've seen on social media, the prospect that they got back for AJ Puck is like superstar level, that he immediately becomes the best prospect in the Marlins system, which we know at this point is all that they're looking for. So I don't proclaim to know anything about baseball. The De La Cruz, I think, was the guy's name.
De Los Santos. Davison De Los Santos. From what I read, and this was in The Athletic, by the way, he's the number 14 prospect according to the MLB pipeline. So that's solid.
Yeah. I mean, if you can turn an aging reliever on a team that you don't need relief because, I don't want to get back into with Solana or not, but the wins and losses really don't matter at this point when it comes to the Marlins as much as I would. This might be one of those scenarios where wins and losses really, it doesn't matter. If you can turn an aging reliever into the 14th best prospect in all of MLB, probably a pretty good move.
I got to ask Appel this, and I might be speaking out of turn, but when we got rid of Ozuna and Giancarlo, and you know those other Machado, I love Machado. He went crazy in San Diego. Like when we got rid of them, we got prospects back.
We never had a Machado.
Machado, what's the other boy's name? The one that left when we were balling with Giancarlo Yelich. Sorry, not Machado. They look the same. That sound racist.
Well, they don't. Hispanic. They don't.
They actually really don't. Christian though, Yelich like is white. Yelich is like Lily white.
Yelich got a little Hispanic in him.
No, not at all.
Yelich is white.
White.
Christian Yelich?
I thought he might have took an E-L off the end of his name. Yelich, Ozuna, Giancarlo, that little run we had, and we know Fernandez what happened to him, but that run we had, did any of those prospects we got back, did they become amazing players? I don't know the answer, but like the prospect thing, I just need to know.
No, but that's been the biggest gripe Marlins fans have had with the front office, which is for years now, going back to 2003, rebuild, trade your best players, get prospects back, and they don't end up panning out. So why are you trading your best players? It's what happened with Miguel Cabrera, right? Like, was it Miguel Cabrera that they got Cameron Maybin? Was it Cameron Maybin?
It was one of the all-time worst returns for a future Triple Crown winner. But I don't want to relitigate that. I want to marvel that in 2024, in the opening segment, the line Christian Yelich is white was uttered. When's the last time Christian Yelich played for the Marlins? It had to be what? 14 years ago?
14, 15,
2017.
Yeah.
2017. That's funny, man. Anyway,
damn, he's from Bosnia. Hair
he's like white,
name.
White.
No, Serbian.
White. There's no Hispanic in Bosnia-Herzegovina, if that's what you were trying to say.
His maternal grandfather was Japanese. That's what I was trying to get after.
You saw that. I told you this week, I don't see color.
We had some LFI players, and I don't know what we got back for them. I might have had some false information throughout my rant.
We do have Marlins tickets again to give away today, by the way. Marlins, this is our final pair for the week. They play the Reds on August 5th. It's Bark in the Park, so you can bring your puppy dog to the game. We'll give away one more pair of tickets for that today. Josh Appel is going to join us today. We'll talk some Dolphins training camp. We have a lot to get to. Tua is a topic of conversation on just about every national show. Solana sent us an article. I think it was from The Athletic. Like he is a topic of conversation everywhere. We've certainly talked about him all week long, but that's going to continue until he either gets a new contract or they say, yep, we couldn't come to a deal. We're full steam ahead for the season. We hope he plays under his current contract. That can help. That can happen as well. Like, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I thought I knew what the outcome was going to be a couple months ago. Now, as we get further and further, you know, closer and closer to preseason game one, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I do know that the opening ceremonies for the Olympics are going on right now. You can watch it on NBC right now. I can't. I started to watch it, and my wife said to me, no spoilers, because we're watching it tonight. So I thought to myself, well, because the Parade of Nations is the only reason that you watch it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they have all the artistic whatevers and fireworks and dance and, you know, it's like a whole bit. It's a huge production. I shouldn't say it's a whole big production. It is a huge production. But the Parade of Nations is what's fun for me. Well, if I watch it now during the show, well, I got to watch a parade again later tonight. This is very important to my wife. So I'm not, you know, hoping the Parade of Nations is done by 9 so I can watch OP live. Gonna flip over to it just for 1 second just to see who's walking in right now, and then I'm flipping right off, right back.
Friday and Saturday night, OP live.
3 hours every night. We do not deviate.
It's the same thing over and over again.
It is not the same thing. Ask a policeman if every night they work is the same thing over and over again.
Law broken.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We didn't see that coming a mile away. Every football game's the same. Huh. Pass play, run play, defense.
You want to watch players change and all that. You want to watch people get arrested.
So do the criminals. What are you talking about?
Getting arrested is not, it's not fun to watch somebody get arrested to me. It's not fun.
Well, you can determine what's fun or what's not fun to watch. I'm not arguing that. I'm just telling you that police work is not the same every night, every night.
Cops. Is it cops again?
What's going on here? This opening ceremony. Is this
the opening ceremony or live action Les Miserables?
This is like, I thought it was Phantom of the Opera for a second. What is going on here?
I thought it was Assassin's Creed. I'll tell you.
What is it?
I thought it was Assassin's Creed.
It does look like Assassin's Creed, too.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a video game.
Yeah.
Well, I knew it's a video game, but I mean, it's like me saying it looks like Q-Bert. You wouldn't know what the hell I was talking about. Liberté.
I think that means Olympics in French.
I thought it meant library. Huh. A headless lady singing. All right, I got to turn this off because I got to watch it again tonight. Turning it off. Put on Bar Rescue. Seinfeld. I'll go to SportsCenter. See if anything goes on. Oh, they're talking to Jaden Daniels.
You know what? I did watch that New York Giant off-season Hard Knock thing.
Well, I didn't see 1 second of it.
Yeah, they're about to be terrible.
Yeah.
Have you watched this, Alana?
Nah. Zach Gelb had told us a couple weeks ago that he was like all in on this Hard Knocks. But I can't bring myself. One, I'm not interested in the Giants. Two, what the hell do I care about the Giants offseason? Like, I just can't bring myself to watch it.
Well, it's kind of interesting, though, to see what, like, I didn't watch it, but it would be kind of interesting to see what transpired with Saquon.
I don't know if they, a couple more, you know, whatever, episodes left, but they inquired about Saquon's knowledge of what he knew about the draft guys now, but they haven't said anything like what happened with him. But one thing you do know is that they wanted to trade up to get a quarterback so bad. But now Daniel Jones is their quarterback. So Daniel Jones is going to watch this thing and know that they were calling the Patriots. They were calling everybody in the world to try to go get a quarterback. They were like, oh, we like Neighbors and Marvin Harrison. I watched it last night. They wanted Drake May, Jalen Daniels, or Salem Williams so bad.
Salem Williams.
Is a C?
Caleb. Caleb Williams. You had him on your own podcast.
Jaden Salem.
What? What is it? What is going on? What is going on here? All right, let's get headlines with Alejandro Solana because Josh Appel is going to join us. I want to make sure we have enough time with him. Jaden Salem was what you just uttered. All right, get headlines with Solana.
Crowder, you good?
Good, man. I'm really trying to look up Jordan Love Tua stats while we're talking, and I think it's messing me up.
These headlines are driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Somebody has texted in. That stands for Liberty Genius.
Oh.
Thanks, man.
So that's what it meant.
I thought it was library.
Thanks, Rudy Gobert. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Tony Parker. Keep listening in case we have more questions about France.
The Marlins, I mean, come on, man. Come on.
Bro, I said Libertad. That must mean library. What are we doing here? We doing Salem Williams talk?
Salem about to be special.
Man. Things have heated up. There's a lot going on. Things have heated up between the NBA, NBA on TNT. Charles Barkley has released a statement. I don't know if you want to get into that now, but things have
Let's
heated
up. Let's do it later on in the show because it's getting pretty wild. This is going to get very interesting.
Yeah. The Marlins do play today against Christian Yelich's team. Funny enough, the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee. Hmm. Three-game series, first pitch is at 8:10. I believe I saw a tweet like 2 weeks ago that Christian Yelich was injured. Now, I don't know any more details beyond that, so I don't know if he'll be playing tonight. But
all right.
Yeah. Tua did practice today, as Hawk mentioned. You guys saw the Raiders try to troll Patrick Mahomes with a Kermit the Frog doll yesterday?
I did see that. That's funny.
So
I don't know if that's the guy you want to troll, but that's funny.
Trying something, Hawk.
Like troll Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like you're gonna troll MJ? We all watched the documentary. Like, you want to give the greatest in the league any extra incentive to kick your ass?
I think he's going to kick your ass no matter what. Maybe you can laugh a little bit in the offseason.
All right.
What's funny is Patrick Mahomes could retire today, and he will have had more success in his career than the Raiders will have for the next two decades.
Big statement.
Raiders stink.
They're bad.
You can turn things around in a couple of seasons. I mean, the Dolphins are not examples of that, but teams have.
They're talented, though.
Hawk, to me, when I look at what Patrick Mahomes has done to win, first of all, back-to-back Super Bowls, but perennial AFC championship game, he's won three Super Bowls, been to four already. I mean, for a team to do that over a span of 20 years in itself is remarkable. That's what makes Mahomes what he's doing so special.
You give
somebody text in. Why don't you guys prepare for work before the show, not during?
Man, Salem better be quiet. I don't play with people like that.
I mean, I can speak for myself. I'm busy. I do Wordle, Dordle, Wordle, and Octordle.
I went to JCPenney today.
Would you go on a DeLorean? What year did you go back to?
I wanted to get some dress shoes.
At JCPenney?
Man, they have Steve Madden's for $50.
Steve Madden, great scenes from Wolf of Wall Street.
They went crazy when Steve Madden bought it. Cheap socks? Oh, my. JCPenney's is a gym.
Okay. The Ravens, they tweeted that Lamar Jackson remains sidelined with an illness and will not practice today. He continues to undergo further evaluation and receive care from our medical team.
It's a funny text, clever text from someone. Hold in, hold out. The amount of money Tua wants, it's a hold up. That's clever.
That is clever.
That's clever. I like wordplay.
All right, gentlemen, that's pretty much your big headlines. You do have Inter Miami action tomorrow in the League's Cup. You've got Olympics men's basketball on Sunday, the U.S.
Ooh, that starts Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday. And the Olympics officially begins after the opening ceremony, even though things have been happening already. So a lot of sports actually going on outside of training camp. Football 6 days away. Don't forget, 6 days away.
Yeah, buddy.
Sir. All right, your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. It's hot. It's around 90 degrees. Tonight, the lows will be in the upper 70s. That is your weather.
All right, Josh Appel is going to join us in the next segment, talk a little Machado.
Machado can play. Yelich can, too.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
North, right, clamp, south, Fox, H, top, pass, 38, top, Gumby, XP, sweat.
Hawk and Crowder. From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Josh Appel is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline with us. Now, he's the public address announcer for the Miami Marlins at Lone Depot Park. Everyone knows he's our fill-in host when we're gone. He's an NFL play-by-play announcer for Sports USA, NFL preseason football. Solana mentioned it, less than 1 week away. Less than 1 week away. Josh even broadcasts soccer. If you were watching Apple TV last night, you may have seen Josh. What game were you doing last night?
I was doing Portland Timbers 2 and Sporting Kansas City 2. So it was the second teams of the MLS.
I mean, the guy can do it all. He's got his hand in a little bit of everything.
And I'll tell you what, that soccer game, it mattered. One team won and another team lost.
Let's not relitigate. You're going to have Solana leaving on over the weekend. Are you okay, Solana? You're stewing already.
Nah, I'm good. But next time Appel's hosting, we'll see how much content I send you, buddy.
Sounds like Solana is taking credit for whatever you're able to talk about on the air. That was very passive aggressive.
We'll see.
Full disclosure, half of the show that I did, I don't know if I'm sure Hawk and Crowder, neither of you heard it. Literally half the show on Thursday was Solana's interviews from SEC Media Day.
Oh, Solana, I think that was
the content you were providing was SEC Media Day interviews?
Well, really, it was to upset you, but you just had no idea what was going on.
Well, now I'm upset. Consider it to have worked because now I'm upset. The only thing you know less about than Olympic soccer, no shade, is SEC football.
That is fair. Yeah.
His interview with Kirby Smart was top notch.
Listen, I interviewed Paul Christ for 3 years in a row and only asked him about cheese curds.
I was there 1 year. It was uncomfortable.
Oh, what else do you know about Wisconsin? I've got a Ron Dane question, and I've got a cheese curd question. That's about the extent of my Wisconsin knowledge.
I told my Ron Dane story that year.
Oh, I remember. Oh, man. So I want to talk football with you, Appel, but the Marlins traded A.J. Puck last night. I was saying to Solana and Crowder, again, I don't know anything about prospects and I don't know anything about baseball, really. But the reaction I saw on social media was like, yeah, this is pretty genius on the Marlins part, because AJ Puck, I mean, listen, do you really need a closer when it's a lost season? And this prospect that they got, apparently Solana said, was like number 14 prospect in all of MLB. So good trade last night.
For what the value of relievers are, yeah, it was a very good trade for a guy like AJ Puck, who started the season struggling in the rotation. He got hurt. When he came back, they put him in the bullpen. He's pitched to like a 2 ERA since then. He's been really, really good. And that's about as well as you can do for a reliever setup man that AJ Puck has turned into. this year. De Los Santos, he's got a ton of upside. He's the 14th overall prospect in the Diamondbacks organization.
In the Diamondbacks, I got you.
Yeah. But like I said, he's a guy with a lot of upside, mashes the baseball. I think 28 home runs this year between AA and AAA. He'll go to Jacksonville. Maybe we'll see him at some point this season. But the Marlins have a lot of valuable pieces, especially in their bullpen, that have some value that they can turn into a bigger talent pool of prospects and hope that a couple of those guys pan out. You just want to cast a wide net at this point, and they got a really good return for AJ Puck, which leads me to believe the return they're going to get for Tanner Scott, who's been the best closer in baseball this year. He's only allowed runs in 3 games this season. That's insane.
I do want to talk football, but the rotation in general. Did I see Max Meyer is back?
Yeah, Max Meyer. Craig Mish reported that earlier today. I don't know if the team has announced it yet, but that announcement should be coming. Got off to a really good start with the Marlins earlier this year as a starter. They moved him back down to the minors to manage his innings a little bit more, and barring injury, should be with the Marlins for the rest of the season.
And quick, Josh, with basketball and football, it's usually like the drafts, you know, and you know guys are good and they come over. With baseball, it's a prospect thing that I really don't know. Like, Hawks at 14th in the world. It might be 14th in Arizona. Like, those prospects, how much different is our normal draft process, our free agent process, than baseball is? Because this prospect thing kind of confused the hell out of me.
Oh, it's way different. You don't see guys get drafted and then immediately go right up to the big league club. Sometimes pitchers can maybe join later on in the season if they're a college arm who's, you know, got the experience. But a lot of the times it's a season and a half before some of these guys make it up to the big leagues, depending on the organization and how they want to develop their players. But it's, I feel like, even more of a crapshoot than other sports. There's 20 rounds and you've got 3 to 5 minor league teams that you've got to fill. And obviously you're trying to build for your future. And unfortunately for the Marlins, position player wise, they've had some tough times when it comes to the draft. And it seems like they had a decent draft this year, but it's impossible to say. Like, you can get excited about other sports, I guess, during the draft, because there's a more immediate payoff, I guess, to it, because you'll get to see it a lot sooner. I'm done trying to guess whether or not these baseball prospects are going to pan out.
It's
obviously
so far down the road.
Say that again?
It's just so far down the road.
Yeah. So, like, good. I like it. Everything sounds good. Talk to you when he's getting closer to the big one.
What about Tua? Let's go to football here. So, okay. Tua has been, I was saying to Crowder and Solana, Tua has been talked about on national television, any of the national websites. Like, he is a topic of conversation. And obviously, he's a high-profile quarterback who wants a new contract, hasn't been given one. We know Jordan Love has a different approach. He's not practicing. Tua practiced today. Didn't practice yesterday. Kind of practiced Wednesday. So it's like, he's keeping everybody guessing. But I would ask you to guess. Do we make it to preseason game one, regular season game one, without Tua having a new contract?
I would certainly, for both of their sakes, hope not. I would imagine both sides want to get it done well before then. I do think it's a good sign that he's practicing more in 11-on-11 like he did today. I feel like if they were further away from finding an agreement, maybe that wouldn't be the case, that he would be more of doing the hold in that you guys were talking about yesterday or the day before, just kind of participating in all the non-contact stuff. Not that you can hit a quarterback in camp, but you know what I mean. I feel like the more he practices, the better sign that is that something is getting closer. Negotiations are obviously volatile, so that could change from one day to the next. But it's so obvious what both sides mean to each other. This deal is going to get done. Now, I hope this isn't, last summer when I started as a fill-in host for you guys, we must have done a zillion shows about how, the Lillard trade's going to happen. The Lillard trade's going to happen. there's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of time. I'm true. Hoping that that this Tua contract negotiation is not the Lillard saga from last year, where it's just like, all right, eventually this contract's going to get done and we're going to see him extended by the Dolphins. I hope that's not the case. I think both sides know they need each other, and I think both sides will get it done.
But Josh, from Tua's standpoint, is this the best approach? Because like you're saying, some like Jordan Love saying, listen, if you don't pay me, I'm not practicing. I'll come here, I'll hang out with y'all, go to meetings. But with Tua, like giving in a little bit back and forth, you said it where, okay, well, now we're moving towards something. But if that's something.
That's just a guess, by the way.
I'm just saying, but if that something doesn't manifest, now I'm still working for the peanuts you were paying me for, and it's $23 million peanuts, but it's still peanuts in the whole scheme of things. Like the approach from Tua's camp, the approach of him being there and being that good soldier, because I know his personality is a good soldier, but there's old saying, good guys finish last. I don't know if it's the best approach what Tua's putting out.
I think you said it though. I just don't think he really has that in him, because what happens when, all right, the contract's done, now he's got to get back into the swing of things and pick everything back up, and now he's been sitting out for a month of training camp. And think about it this way. If he doesn't end up signing, he'd have to be able to prove himself to other teams to get the contract that he wants. So I'd imagine either way, he doesn't want to start behind by a few weeks in camp and wants to, you know, get off to a good start at the beginning of the season. You obviously could speak to it better than I can, because you've been in locker rooms where guys have gone through these types of negotiations. I'm not really sure the Dolphins have had their star quarterback, who's been top five in the league in every passing category the last 2 years. We haven't had that.
I remember when John Beck was holding out.
Because we haven't had that quarterback. It is funny that you just point that out. You're right, though. They have never had a quarterback that mattered as much as him, so it didn't matter if he didn't like his contract.
Right, and the Dolphins, when they extended Ryan Tannehill, that was not a contentious negotiation. That was a big contract they gave to Tannehill that they felt he earned. And not to say they don't feel like Tua's earned this big contract. There's clearly still concerns that they have. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past. With the salary cap going up, I think we have to stop, like, comparing what certain quarterbacks are getting now compared to maybe what guys who we would consider, quote-unquote, better got two, maybe three seasons ago when the cap was lower and they were negotiating contracts that way. So I think that's another thing too, where people will look at what he's going to end up getting paid year to year. I don't think that's really relevant, because again, it's percentage of the cap, in my opinion, not the actual number. I would imagine what they're squabbling over are injury guarantees and just guaranteed money in general. I would imagine that's what the crux of this is. That's not based on anything. I'm just assuming that's what it has to be.
Appel, I've seen a lot of people say that, where, hey, right now what you're going to pay Tua might lead the market or dictate the market, but 2, 3, 4 years from now, he may not even be a top 5, 6, or 7 paid player anymore, because guys like Mahomes are going to want to get paid again. Burrow, all the top guys are going to say, look at what Tua's making. Why shouldn't I get more contract money? But as it pertains to Tua right now and the Dolphins right now, I look at this as their window this year as their window, maybe next year as their window. No matter if Tua signs long-term or not, it doesn't concern you that the Dolphins, if they pay Tua this contract, potentially could have 5, 6 players taking up over 50% of their cap. Because I'm with you, salary cap is bound to go up as it did this year, more than most people thought, but that's not the case every single year. Like, it right. may not hurt the Dolphins 5, 6 years from now, 3, 4 years from now, but it could hinder their progress this year and next year.
Well, I think we know that their window was last year, this year, and next year. Look, there are going to be decisions they have to make. They had to make those decisions on Robert Hunt. They had to make those decisions on Christian Wilkins. They're going to have to make that decision on a guy like Javon Holland, who's a friend of the show. So that's just the reality of what happens as these guys progress in the league and it's time for them to earn new contracts. Waddle got his. Tua's obviously going to get his, and that's just where these decisions have to be made. And that's when you really show your chops as a general manager in a front office and how you can kind of win in the margins and draft really well. Jalen Phillips obviously has not extended yet, to my knowledge. Bradley Chubb obviously is on his big contract, so Phillips is another guy they're going to have to extend. Maybe they don't think that they can or will, and that's why they drafted a guy like Chop Robinson this past offseason, because they're planning for 2 years from now when maybe they have to, or they don't have the money to give the Jalen Phillips. These are all things that they have to consider, but at the end of the day, like, the most important position on the field is the quarterback, and you have the quarterback and the head coach that are locked in together and they perform at a high level together. And at the end of the day, that's the most important combo this team will have. Not to discount anybody
else. Who would you rather have? We had this conversation earlier this week. We've had several iterations of it. Tua or Jordan Love? Who's the better quarterback?
I think Tua's had more success. Like, just I've seen it more with Tua. Jordan Love.
I have as well, but Solana will tell you, and some of the detractors will say that he doesn't have a playoff win.
It's not just that, though.
That's fair.
Because the fair criticism of Jordan Love is we've really only seen it 8, 9, 10 games, if that.
Right.
But I think you could also agree, other people saying, well, the ceiling appears to be higher for Jordan Love based on just that small sample size and his body type and his arm strength. Like, the ceiling could be higher. Doesn't necessarily mean he's right now a better player.
He's not, and the physical traits he definitely has over Tua, but that's, you don't have to have the top physical traits to be a successful quarterback in this league. Tua always gets the lefty Drew Brees comps. I think that's so fitting. Drew Brees was not the best. Hell, Peyton Manning was not the best athlete in the league when he was playing. I know the league is obviously different from that era to what it is now, but like, Jordan Love's not this guy that's running all over everybody. He has that ability, but he's got a rocket of an arm and he can move around the pocket, and he obviously got a lot better last year. I think obviously he has the better physical tools, but that doesn't always translate to being a better player and being a more productive player. People just see the flashes last year, and he was really good down the stretch last season for Green Bay.
But man, if you want to do it off flashes, though, Tua has shown you flashes during the season that were, I mean, ridiculous.
He showed flashes even in his first couple of seasons before McDaniel got here, and I would come on and I would talk to whoever and I would defend Tua, and I was trying to tell people, like, look, Chan Gailey, Brian Flores didn't want Tua. I mean, we've litigated that plenty of times, and yet his completion percentage in those offenses were really high. I mean, I know they weren't, you know, pushing the field all that much, but the way they ran RPOs and Tua's accuracy in the short and intermediate game, that's how that offense had to operate, because they didn't have a lot of talent on the outside and didn't have a lot of talent in the backfield. And Tua was surgical in that type of offense. He was really good in college. The knock people have on Tua is just because he gets hurt or got hurt a lot. Obviously, he stayed healthy last year. Now the next step is, all right, win a big playoff game. And so that's the next thing he has to do.
What about, to Hawk's question, the Jared Goff? Because Goff's one, the Trevor Lawrence, he's younger. And like you're saying, he's a bigger guy. The Jordan Love, he's a bigger guy, he's younger. Jared Goff's older as hell, and he really hasn't been that good until he got to Detroit. Like, Jared Goff or Tua?
Well, in fairness to Jared Goff, I know that Rams team was really good, but he did go to a Super Bowl with them. Like, I remember that Monday night game between the Chiefs and the Rams? They both scored in the 50s. It was in L.A. Like, Goff had his games in L.A., and he was really good for the Rams once McVay got there. I think that playing styles, they're probably very similar to each other, and they're very comparable. But Goff has had that playoff success now in two different places. So I think they're really similar. I think that's probably the kind of range that they probably see Tua getting paid in. I think Jared Goff's gotten a lot of undue criticism in his career. He's not the best quarterback in the league, obviously, but I mean, he's gone on two deep playoff runs
now.
And if
the comps are there, like we've said this week, I mean, you want to have confidence that your quarterback can get to a Super Bowl. Ultimately, you want to have confidence that that person can get to a Super Bowl. If the comps are there with Goff, then you got to feel good about it.
I think that people need to see Tua, obviously want to win, but I think people need to see Tua like play really at a high level in one of these games. Like, if he was going back and forth with Mahomes in that game and Mahomes led some last minute drive or something like that, I think the way we think about Tua is a little bit different, even if they don't win that game. Now they got to get that win. But if he's playing well in these environments, I think that might change a lot of opinions too. It's really hard to win a Super Bowl in this league, and you need a lot of luck to go along with it. Just to equate it to the Panthers, when they played Vegas, a ton of injuries, they were really thin, lost in five to a much better team. This year, they stay healthy. They barely have any injuries, any major injuries during the playoffs. And obviously the hiccup at the end, but they win the Stanley Cup. Like, you guys have talked about it before, even this week. The Dolphins, the way they were injured towards the end of the season and in that Kansas City game, especially on defense, like, that's not a team that was well-equipped, even if they somehow pulled off an upset against the Chiefs to make a deep run, because their health had deteriorated to such an unmanageable point. So it takes a lot of luck, and it takes a lot of other factors as well. You just want to see Tua perform at a high level in those games.
Tomorrow is National Chicken Finger Day.
Mm.
You are a huge fan. I've had lunch and dinner with you. You're a huge fan of chicken fingers.
Mm-hmm.
What place, according to Josh Appel, has the best chicken fingers?
Wow. Is this like not just fast food restaurants, or is this?
Yeah, give us whatever you want.
Hmm.
It's a completely clear easel.
I'm just going to go with Old Reliable because it's so special every time I go there. It holds a special place in my heart. It's Raising Cane's for me. I know that people will criticize, the chicken's kind of bland, the fries are kind of, you know what? Give me that Cane's sauce. Give me those tenders.
The toast.
Every day of the week. And the Texas toast.
I mean, yeah, the toast.
We're talking about tenders.
Fingers specifically. Yeah, I don't know what the difference is between the tender and the finger, but they call it like Raising Cane's chicken fingers, right? So this is specifically their day.
Right.
But when did you, because Raising Cane's only opened near me recently, when were you first exposed to them?
I had friends who lived in other states. If I'd go to visit, we'd go to Raising Cane's and, you know, places like Dallas. And anytime I would go somewhere else, there was a Cane's. Made sure I go, like New Orleans. I had a game in New Orleans a few years ago in 2021, something like that. Not that the year matters, but it was late. We had a 4 o'clock game there, and I made my analyst find the closest Raising Cane's where we were staying. It was like 15, 20 minutes away, and we drove and we got dinner there. So go
Crowder, out. Who has the best chicken fingers, Crowder?
Best chicken fingers?
Tomorrow's Chicken Fingers Day. So again, I don't know the delineation.
And I don't know what I don't know the difference, and I don't know who calls what who. But
I feel ridiculous calling something chicken fingers. I'll be honest with you. I call them tenders.
Mm-hmm. Tenders. Houston's.
Because like Publix, what about Houston's has chicken tenders?
Yeah, Houston's for the kids,
for adults.
But it's for human consumption, and it's delicious.
Huh. I mean, everything Houston's does is delicious. So
I like a good old-fashioned, like light batter tempura type style. I don't like the thickness, you know. Yeah,
like the Publix ones to me are too bready.
That it's just too thick.
Solana,
chicken
who has the best chicken fingers?
I won't allow you to slander chicken fingers from Publix, even though I think they're chicken tenders.
Those are phenomenal.
But to me, the best chicken fingers / chicken tenders. You're a little drunk. And you get them from a stadium tender, stadium chicken fingers. Mm. But you have to be a little drunk, because if you're sober, they're kind of ass. But if you're just a little drunk and they can sober you up a little bit, hits every single time.
Stadium tenders on a bed of fries. And I say a bed of fries loosely because it's just they don't want to give you more than one little bucket. So they put the fries in first and the tenders on top. They always hit.
Always.
They really do. Stadium tenders always hit.
But that little tip, that little grizzle tip is like jerky, though.
Yeah.
Because it's set up underneath that little lamp.
Yeah, sometimes you just bite into it, and the chicken is like way too cooked also.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
But it hit. there's some stadium tenders, man. There is something about stadium. It's why they're able to charge $80 for tenders and fries at stadium. It always hits.
And I'll pay it every single time.
All right.
Where are yours? You didn't give yours.
Best chicken fingers on the planet? I don't know. I do like Raising Cane's. Like I've never tried Huey Magoo's. Aronde's all about Huey Magoo's, but that's because you get the buy one, get one with a Panthers victory. The best
Zaxby's? Zaxby's is good.
Yeah.
Never.
I like PDQ better than Zaxby's.
Who?
PDQ.
PDQ.
PDQ. Yeah, PDQ.
No, the
tenders in a sandwich. I like that.
Yeah, they doing too much.
Hmm.
I've never had PDQ because the line's always too damn long.
So you just did a Whataburger spicy ketchup with PDQ.
I really
no, no, oh,
we
no.
Do that PDQ. With sports though. I mean, we gave AJ Puck takes earlier in the show. I mean,
just, bro, does PDQ have
been
one
handing
person?
Me my chicken fingers. I wouldn't have recognized him.
PDQ needs to up the working staff. The line is around the block on Pines every time.
I'm trying to think of stadium tenders do hit in a way that
those are frozen.
Yeah,
I don't care. Like you know exactly what it is. Just like you know when you go to CC's Pizza that it's not exactly gourmet pizza, but like something about stadium tenders, man. They never disappoint.
In the gray tray with a ocean of ketchup from the
dispenser.
I don't like putting ketchup on chicken fingers.
Honey mustard.
A honey mustard barbecue sauce is my go-to. I like honey mustard.
Boss guy.
Miller Ale House zingers.
Yeah,
those are tenders.
Wow. Right.
Even okay. Chili's. Chili's has good chicken tenders as well. All those chains have good chicken tenders.
But are zingers tenders? Because they've gone out of their way to almost create their own. Like we're not going to call them fingers. We're not going to call them tenders. We're not going to call them wings, boneless wings. Like. We've come up with our own name, zingers. Ooh. Like, well, and you kind of don't want to identify as chicken fingers.
You love
it. I see you. You're a
you know
zinger.
What I mean?
But you're a tender. You're a breaded piece of chicken, boneless.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're going way out of your way to tell me that you're not. You know. Anyway, Josh Appel. When are the Marlins back home?
August 5th against the Reds.
August 5th. I mean, that's what we've given away tickets for all day. That's Bark in the Park.
Bark in the Park.
That's right. All right. You'll hear Josh Appel's booming voice on the Marlins public address system August 5th when the Marlins are back in town against George Foster, Johnny Bench, and the Big Red Machine. All right. See you, Josh.
I think so.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hock and Crowder Show.
Azúcar!
Hock and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.